Hi, I'm Bill Hoehn.
And I'm Ted Hoehn.
Over the past 50 years, our family has brought many world-class dealerships to Carlsbad, including Mercedes-Benz, Porsche, Audi, Honda, Acura, Jaguar, and Land Rover.
That's right. This year we're celebrating 50 years in Carlsbad.
So on behalf of the entire Hoehn family, we want to thank San Diego. Throughout the years, we've taken tremendous pride in meeting and even exceeding our customers' automotive needs.
We value the relationships with our clients and look forward to serving you for years to come. We invite you to visit one of the Hoehn Carlsbad dealerships or hoehnmotors.com.
It's time for Midday Edition on KPBS. March is National Reading Month. We'll talk about programs to get your kids excited about opening the books. I'm Jade Hindman. Here's to conversations that keep you informed, inspired, and make you think. A program connects military families through reading.
Even though he wasn't there, but I could use our video recordings from United Through Reading so that she could still see and hear Dad and have him be a really important part of her day.
Plus, a program called Librarian on the Go makes reading more accessible, and a local author encourages readers to celebrate those with autism. That's ahead on Midday Edition.
KPBS On Demand is supported by the National Conflict Resolution Center. Topics like political polarization and hybrid work policies can create workplace conflict. NCRC can help workplace leaders navigate divisive issues with the Culture, Communication, and Conflict Certificate. More at ncrconline.com.
Welcome in, San Diego. It's Jade Hindman. March is National Reading Month. We'll tell you about a program that connects military families through reading and another that brings the librarian right to your doorstep. This is Midday Edition, connecting our communities through conversation. March is National Reading Month, and one of the biggest things we can do as parents is read to our children. A 2019 study from Ohio State University found that if we read just one book each day to our child, they'll hear nearly 300,000 words by the age of five. But for military families who may be separated for long stretches, forming a daily reading routine can be a challenge. One San Diego organization is providing ways for military members to read to their kids regardless of where they are. Midday Edition's Andrew Bracken sat down with Jessica Hall, who is with that organization called United Through Reading.
So Jessica, why is reading, and in particular the act of reading to our kids, so important?
Yeah, reading is one of the most important things that we can do with our kids to help set them up for success, not only in their academic, but also just their future careers and life when they reach adulthood. Reading is foundational to all the learning that we do. And so being great at reading, knowing how to read, is going to help you even in STEM careers. You're going to have to read how to do different parts of jobs or communicate how to do that. And that's what reading sets you up to do.
And even far beyond that, and just, you know, the expanding vocabulary, it's also about far more than just reading or words alone, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It also creates emotional connections, relationships between family members. And it's just a great way to stay connected and open up those discussions that you can have together as a family.
So tell us more about your organization, United Through Reading. I mean, how did it get started, and what kind of work is it doing with military families today?
Yeah, United Through Reading was started in 1989, right there on the piers of San Diego. We brought VHS cameras to the piers to record service members as they got on the ships to go on deployments. And the families got a book and a video recording to watch on demand while their sailor was away at sea. And we continue to do that. We've now connected over 3 million military family members through shared story time with our video recordings. We no longer use VHS tapes, as you can imagine, but we do have a free app and everything is cloud-based and we're able to instantly connect those family members on demand whenever they're missing their loved one that's away from home for whatever reason, whether it's a long deployment or a training or, you know, just a work day. Kids will miss their military family member at any point in the day. And so this allows them to always be able to make that connection with them through story time, which just has such an impact on all parts of their life.
And, you know, kind of as you mentioned there, I mean, deployments can be a very emotional experience, I imagine, for military families. And you yourself are part of one. What do you wish more people understood about the experiences that military families go through?
It's really an upheaval of that family routine when a military member is away from home. And particularly for our sailors or anyone that deploys overseas, there's a lack of communication that happens. And they're also tend to be in other time zones and have crazy busy work days. So while we have technology now that can connect us instantaneously or do video chat, sometimes that's not available to our military families due to connectivity issues or, like I said, different time zones, right? When my husband was deployed to the Middle East and our daughter was very young, whenever he was free to talk, she was not awake or she might have been at daycare. And so it was really hard to find those times for them to connect, on top of the fact that one-year-olds are very bad at FaceTime. If you have ever tried to video chat with a young kid, they just don't get it yet, obviously. And so when we used United Through Reading, we were able to keep that connection going in a way that she was used to. We read before bed every day. He got to read her a book too, even though he wasn't there, but I could use our video recordings from United Through Reading so that she could still see and hear Dad and have him be a really important part of her day.
So with United Through Reading, can you walk us through how it works? So yes, I mean, on the FaceTime thing, I can totally back you up. FaceTime with young kids, I remember my kids would kind of leave the phone in a random room and just leave, you know, yes. Like this.
Or they hold it up and take you on a tour of the house.
Right, yeah. So your guys' approach is basically to allow the parent to pre-record these stories, and then you can kind of plug it into your own nightly bedtime reading routine or whenever you want to have that time for your kids, right?
Yeah, exactly. So what you would do, and our program is open not only to active duty, but also to veterans of the military. And so with our free app, what you do is you log in and then you record yourself using your video camera on your mobile device, reading the story. It's then sent to the caregiver and they can play it on demand. So it's always available for you to access, and you can build a whole library of stories to pick from. And then, you know, if the kid misses mom or dad in the middle of the day, you can just grab that mobile device and play it for them. If you want to incorporate it into bedtime, you can do the same thing. So it's not live. We like to call it story time on demand.
You know, you talked about that upheaval of routine. Can you talk a little bit more about, you know, routine and sort of what it means in the daily lives of kids, like its importance?
Yeah. So routines are really important for young children and for all kids, really, so that they know what to expect next. You build in those expectations. So you wake up, you brush your teeth, you get dressed, you eat breakfast, you go to school. And then in the classroom, teachers have routines set as well, right? Like English is always at the same time. Math is at the same time. All of that. So kids know what to expect next. And when you have a military member out of the house, that whole routine is disrupted, right? So maybe the military service member always drives them to school. Well, they're no longer able to do that. So all of your expectations shift. Wherever we can help maintain those routines is really important for kids, for just knowing what to expect next. On our website, we offer a number of resources that are available to anyone. We have reading trackers so that you can track how many books that you're reading. We have a fun bingo game that encourages you to read different types of books. And we also have a literacy guide with tips on how to read to different age groups of kids. So how you read a book to a toddler is going to be a little bit different than how you read a book to a kindergartner because their comprehension level is different. So you can use some different tactics to really get into that learning while you're reading.
Yeah. Can you dive into that a bit more? I mean, what are some of the different challenges with connecting, you know, kids of different ages with reading?
Yeah. So with your littlest kids, you're doing a lot of pointing at pictures, you know, pointing out what's that color or associating the words that you're saying with the pictures on the page. And then as your kids get older, you can start asking more difficult questions like, what happened to the character in this book? Or why do you think they did that? How do you think they're feeling? And you can use those books to process emotions or just kind of explore whatever the topic is a little bit more. And so if you pick a book that's maybe about an animal, you can explore and learn more about the animal and get a little bit more into the details as they get older and they have more of those brain connections being made. But that being said, infants are making thousands of brain connections every moment in their life as they are literally figuring out what's happening in our world and around them. And so it's really important to read to our infants and just point out what feels really simple to you is brand new to them. And so just reading and talking and explaining everything that you're doing is so important when you have a really tiny kiddo.
And, you know, maybe for slightly older kids, what about when a kid is just really not into reading that much? I imagine one goal that you have is to make it more fun, like not feel like homework, right?
Yes.
Do you have any tips there in terms of like helping kids discover not just reading, but a love for it?
Yeah, we really prided ourselves in helping military families grow their love of reading. And what we always tell families is to first pick a book that you think the kid is going to enjoy. So if they don't like something, don't pick a book about that. If they're old enough to help pick out a book, definitely go with them to the library or the bookstore or look on our website. We have a book list of over 400 books and you can look at it together to pick something out that looks exciting to them. For those older kiddos, don't discount things like comic books or graphic novels. That's such a great introduction to longer form books. Some of the classic books that we all read as kids are now in graphic novel form, so it makes them really interesting to read and look at. And you also, as a parent, want to model the behavior. And so if you're saying something like, oh, I hate reading, then your kid is going to pick up on that. Even if you don't love reading, that's totally fine. But find something that you enjoy to read. Reading a magazine totally counts as reading. Looking through your cookbooks to figure out what you want to cook for dinner for the week counts as reading. So find something and just pick up a book with your kid and read together.
One thing that I struggle with, again, I'm a parent as well, is oftentimes I'm reading things on my phone. But it still gives that signal that I'm just online or, you know, it may not get the message across to my children that I am reading. And that's something that I struggle with because a lot of what we read is in the digital realm today, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. You know, I'm thinking about I do the same thing, reading news articles online.
Right.
I subscribe to a bunch of Substacks and reading through those. And it really just looks like I'm scrolling my phone when I am reading. I personally am still a physical book person. So I do have a stack of books next to my bed. You know, do as I say, not as I do. I should really move some of those downstairs and reading them a little bit more instead of right before bed. But, you know, between activities with my kids too, it's hard. It's really hard. Everything is so digital these days. But as much as you can show that you're reading, even sometimes my kids with my husband in particular, who does a little bit more reading books on his phone or their grandparents, they will read out loud from the phone with them so that the kids see that they're not playing a game, that they're reading something. And so that's kind of a fun way that you could incorporate those ebook type.
Oh, that's a great
models.
Yeah, like kind of active reading, including them in that.
Yeah, you can get a lot of kids' books as ebooks. You know, if you have a Kindle or a similar ebook reader, you can read that with them on the tablets with them as well.
But I agree with you. There's still nothing like having that hardbound book by your side, opening it up. It just feels different than an ebook for me even today.
Yeah, that nice like crack of the spine. There's something satisfying about it.
Absolutely. So Jessica, tell me, I mean, what have been some of your most cherished memories when reading as a family?
I think my favorite things are just introducing my kids to my own favorite books from childhood. So I'm really fortunate that I have some of those books on our bookshelves, like Winkin', Blinkin', and Nod. I know it's still probably in some poem books out there, but I have a board book version of it. I love reading that to my almost 2-year-old at bedtime. We've started reading the Harry Potter series with our kids. I love the Wizard of Oz books. And so reading those and bringing those memories back and revisiting a book that I loved as a kid has been really satisfying, because it just brings you back to those same feelings you had as a kid learning to read and discovering new worlds. So that's been really fun for me.
Yeah, you're taking me back to my love of Dr. Seuss, product of San Diego.
Yes.
One of my favorites of his that I read to my kids was called Mr. Brown Can Moo, Can You. It's so great. It's so good. I love it.
Yeah, and we find our military families pick a lot of Dr. Seuss books. As an organization, we've been lucky to partner with the Seuss Foundation a few times, and it's just a great resource that is there in San Diego because it's so ingrained in the community since he lived there. I think I finally had to put it away, but I had a copy of Green Eggs and Ham that was mine as a kid, and it was so well-worn that it was just falling apart. So you can tell how many times that was read by me and then now my kids.
No, there's something beautiful about a book that's just so worn in. You can just feel, you know, how much the reader has like loved it and cherished it.
Yeah.
That was Midday Edition's Andrew Bracken speaking with Jessica Hall from United Through Reading. Their program provides military families with ways to record stories for their children. Coming up, we'll tell you about a librarian who brings reading right to your children.
If you are enjoying yourself, the audience will be enjoying the story time as well. That is why you meet so many children's librarians who are passionate about what they do.
We'll tell you about Librarian on the Go when we return. You're listening to KPBS Midday Edition.
KPBS On Demand is supported by the National Conflict Resolution Center. Topics like political polarization and hybrid work policies can create workplace conflict. NCRC can help workplace leaders navigate divisive issues with the Culture, Communication, and Conflict Certificate. More at ncrconline.com.
You're listening to KPBS Midday Edition. I'm Jade Hindman. You just heard why reading aloud to your kids is so important. But story times at the library are another way to get kids excited about books. Local librarian Katia Graham creates programs around just that. She founded Librarian on the Go, which provides a la carte librarian services across San Diego County. Graham sat down with Midday Edition's Andrew Bracken, who asked about how Librarian on the Go program got started. Take a listen.
It got started when libraries were closed for programs during COVID, and I began doing pop-up story times in local parks. And Librarian on the Go on Instagram developed a little following.
So this is the first time, you know, you kind of talked about this sort of a la carte librarian service. Are there others like it? Where did you get the inspiration? Where did it come from?
To my knowledge, there aren't others like it. In the fall, I had a relationship with the Museum of Contemporary Art, and they offered to contract me to continue doing story time on their Prebys Play Day, which is a day the museum is free for the public once a month. And somebody else contacted me. City Ballet of San Diego reached out. Where'd you go? We miss you. And, you know, now Librarian on the Go is their outreach librarian. As a matter of fact, City Ballet of San Diego is going to bring 28 library branches at San Diego Public Library, a book and a ballerina program. So there'll be a read aloud. Ballerina will talk about her job and teach dance steps. And it's been pretty cool.
You know, you mentioned a book and a ballerina. I was going to ask you about that. Could you tell us more about that program, where it's going to be, how people can find out about it?
Absolutely. So a book and a ballerina is where There will be a read aloud. A ballerina will talk about her job and teach dance steps. It's going to be at 28 library branches in the San Diego Public Library System. The first program is on March 28th at the Point Loma branch. And to see where the other programs will be, you can visit sandiego.librarymarket.com or follow Librarian on the Go on Instagram.
And these programs are free for the public?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's great. So before you were a librarian, I understand you worked as a reporter. So talk about that transition. What inspired you to kind of take this route into books, into libraries?
Yes, well, there's a lot in common between journalism and librarianship, right? We believe everyone has a story. We believe there's a story for everyone. And we believe in the freedom of speech, access to information. So when I had my own kids, I started taking them to story time at the public library, and my mind was blown. We would hang out at the story time. There would be a craft often after. I would socialize with other moms. Sometimes the library would even give us, you know, free things to take home, and I couldn't believe this was available. So before I knew it, I was volunteering in the public library, and I earned my master's in library and information science.
Recently, we've heard a lot about some of these efforts at, you know, book banning and controversies centered on libraries, some of them in San Diego County. I'm just curious, you know, how has it been being a librarian during this time?
It's been challenging and more important and rewarding than ever before, because you might hear about, you know, the challenges that we're facing, but we're also getting a lot of reassurance. It's an example sometimes of how people can come together during hard times.
You know, earlier we were talking about some books, and you mentioned Where the Wild Things Are, which is like a favorite of both of ours. One thing that jumped out is, you know, you made the point, you know, book banning is nothing new, of course, and that actually even that book, which is just a classic, anyone with kids probably has that in their library or has checked it out from the library, right? Tell us about a little bit more about Where the Wild Things Are, and because I didn't know anything about that.
It's by Maurice Sendak, and it was banned in 1968, I believe, when it came out, for being psychologically damaging to children. And, you know, how could someone send their child to bed without their supper? I like using that book as an example because it's a book that so many people really enjoy. And it is an example of how there is an aversion to change all too often, but it can be overcome. And the fact that so many families like that book now shows that we have a lot in common.
So as a librarian, what are some of the benefits you've seen from story time in your time with libraries and story time with kids?
Well, how much time do you have? Story time is a joyful time, and story times are rooted in public libraries in an outreach literacy program called Every Child Ready to Read. And the five pillars of that are reading, singing, writing, talking, and playing. So there is a method to the madness. There is a reason why your children's librarian is singing in between the readings, and why they might be running their finger along the lines of text in the picture book while they're reading, and why there's toys at the library for kids to play with, and why librarians are asking critical thinking questions before, during, and after the story. So what we want you all to know is that parents are the child's first teacher, and early literacy is where it's at. It's setting up your child for success in life and in school.
And I'm curious, you know, do you have any fond memories, maybe a memory that stands out to you, particularly from reading to kids in the library?
I have so many memories. At the Museum of Contemporary Art in La Jolla on Sunday, I was doing a story time, and it was at the end, somebody asked if we could sing a song about space because one of the books that we read involved a child who wanted to grow up to be an astronaut. So we sang Zoom, 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 You're Going to the Moon. It's a song that sing in story time at the library plenty, and to see the kids and the parents jumping up and down when it was time to blast off during the song was so fun. And, you know, at the end, they all come up to you and they have the hugest smile on their face.
That's really beautiful. Earlier in the show, we spoke with Jessica Hall about reading, and she talked about ways, you know, she uses to get kids to capture this love of reading. I'm curious what elements you feel are important to instill that love of reading, because it's not just about teaching a kid to read. It's really, you know, and as a parent, I, you know, share this. It's trying to capture that passion and joy of reading.
You have to enjoy what you're doing. And if you are enjoying yourself, the audience will be enjoying the story time as well. So that is why you meet so many children's librarians who are passionate about what they do. And it's important for them to be that way because it's what's going to get kids excited about reading too, and families excited about bringing their kids to story times.
And I'm really curious, as a librarian for story time, what goes into picking a book or a theme for it? It's almost like you're the MC or like a DJ picking, you know, records for a party, but books for kids. So what goes into that?
It depends. I have done multiple A through Z story time series. So every week at preschool story time, we'll focus on a different letter of the alphabet, starting with the letter A. We'll get to sound out the letter of the alphabet together at the beginning. We'll get to brainstorm words that start with that letter. We'll get to enjoy books that have a title that starts with that letter, songs that go with the theme, maybe a craft that goes with the letter. I'm thinking about A right now. We made an alligator purse for that one. So that was great. 26 built-in themes. Sometimes if it's a story time that I'm doing, say for a city ballet, the book will be about a ballet, or I organized a story time for them. They had a Peter and the Wolf ballet. So I read Peter and the Wolf picture book.
Do you have any tips to help with early literacy for kids?
I do. As a matter of fact, I have a storytime companion named Tipster the Turtle who offers early literacy tips to families. And one of my favorite tips from Tipster is that the serotonin released when you're cuddling with your child during story time will make them feel supported and will make them better able to learn in that moment.
So let's get into some recommendations. You brought a couple of books with you here. What's a fun book to read aloud?
We're going on a bear hunt. The Very Hungry Caterpillar is great. Actually, talking about The Very Hungry Caterpillar, you might remember that he builds a small house called a cocoon. And he becomes a butterfly. Don't butterflies come from a chrysalis? It is because Eric Carle's father used to tell him, Eric, come out of your cocoon. So this is a lollipop-eating caterpillar. And Eric Carle took editorial license over that part of the story as far as the house around him. And I appreciate the example of poetry over science in this aspect.
Oh, that's a nice, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another story that I like to read out loud is the story of Ferdinand by Monroe Leaf. It's about a bull, and he doesn't want to be charging with other bulls. He wants to sit around and, you know, smell the flowers. Right. It's a story about being yourself despite pressure.
Both of those, I think, are in my home right now today, actually. Thank you. So aside from being National Reading Month, March is also Women's History Month. Do you have any recommendations there?
I do. Planting Stories, The Life of Librarian and Storyteller Pura Belpre is great. She was the first Latina to work at New York Public Library as a librarian. The book's by Anika Aldemoy Denise. If you haven't read the picture book, The Tree Lady, you should, because it's about Kate Sessions, the mother of Balboa Park.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And you also do a lot of bilingual story times. Are there any books in Spanish and English that really resonate with kids that you found?
Yes. There's a book called Señorita Mariposa, which is all about the monarch butterfly. That one's great to read in October around the Day of the Dead time because the monarch butterfly is symbolic around that period too. I like to read even The Very Hungry Caterpillar in Spanish is fun. One of my favorite books is called Alma and How She Got Her Name. And it's by Juana Martinez Neal. And it's about a girl who has a very long name and she's not so sure how she feels about it. But her father explains to her that she's named after all these incredible people in her family. And by the end, she does like her name, especially because Alma is unique just to her, so she can write her own story.
Why is it important to have kids feel represented by the books they read?
Because it will give you confidence. You're not alone. There's someone there who's gone through what you're going through, who can relate to you. You see a character that reminds you of yourself in a story doing something amazing. That means you can do something amazing too. Or if the character is going through a hard time, maybe you'll have gone through a hard time like that and you'll be able to come through it as well.
So you brought a lot of books with you. Any other recommendations? If you want to do a quick lightning round, anything else we should be thinking about?
One of my all-time favorite books is called Out of My Mind, and it's by Sharon Draper. It's great for middle grade, and it is about a girl with cerebral palsy. She is so incredibly smart and so incredibly funny, but she can't communicate by talking the way that you and I do. So she gets frustrated, and but by the end of the story, she has, you know, won the hearts of everyone around her. I really like The Little Prince. That's a classic too. It's a great family read aloud. It shows that what is really important can only be seen with the heart. Another book that I recommend for families is called The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. And it's about going on a treasure hunt and following your heart.
Libraries obviously are about books, but they're about a lot more than just books. They're also community spaces. They provide, you know, lots of different events and different ways for the community to come together. I'm just curious how you think about libraries or if that's something you think about, you know, when doing these story times.
Yep. I think everyone should be a public library card holder. There is something at the public library for you. And if you don't think so, give me a call and I'll tell you why. You don't just go and check out books there. You check out your passions. You check out your interests, even those you didn't even know you have yet. There's a state park pass you can check out. You can check out a hiking kit. You can check out magazines, newspapers, online as well. You can connect to your community there. And I just can't say enough about it.
So what's next for Librarian on the Go?
Librarian on the Go, there are no limits. Just like anything can happen in the public library, anything can happen with Librarian on the Go. I hope to show that librarianship is a relevant and dynamic career. I want more kids to want to be librarians when they grow up, and I want Librarian on the Go to attract the most non-traditional library users. People in the libraries, they're already there, but more people need to go.
That was Midday Edition producer Andrew Bracken speaking with Katia Graham from Librarian on the Go.
KPBS On Demand is supported by San Diego Opera, presenting Madama Butterfly, Puccini's timeless tale of betrayal and tragedy, featuring an all-star cast and the San Diego Symphony. Two performances, April 26th and 28th, at the Civic Theater. Tickets at sdopera.org.